The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Or I should say welcome back for me for being gone all last week. I'll explain that. And what happened and stuff like that. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Hey, I'm going to catch you up on some stuff. Today is the 24th of April, 2023. Hey, I changed some graphics on Facebook pages, Matt Slick Live. Is Roman Catholicism true? Is Universalism true? You can check out those Facebook pages. I'm using artificial intelligence graphics generation. Go in there, check it out, see what you think. And just for kicks, I went in and prompted it to design a living room. And man, it's like I have a magazine. These things are incredible. All right, so what happened last week, I'll tell you why I wasn't on the air live. You guys know out there, my wife has a lot of medical issues. It runs in the family. And her brothers, she has four brothers, and two of them have already passed away from this this condition that she has, that they all have. And so her oldest brother, Ken, his ascending and descending aorta is dissected. And this is the kind of thing that'll kill you. And so I actually talked to him on Monday morning and said, dude, you got to get in, man. Your speech is slurred. And you're not thinking clearly, and I could tell, you know. And he goes, okay, you know. Others had been prompting him, and he finally called, and his neighbor took him to ER, and they operated that evening. This is how serious it was. And the operation went from 8 to 10 hours. He has a zipper from the upper part of his chest down to his belly button area, and they opened him up completely. And they had to fix that the aortic system. And he's healing up, and he's healing up really well. So we had to take an emergency flight down there on Monday and do the whole everything. And my wife, she can't really pull luggage because of her condition, and she has to walk slowly. So basically I'm a pack mule. I've got a picture of me in an elevator loaded to the gills with stuff and getting around. So, you know, that's how it was. And we flew back yesterday? I can't remember. Saturday. Yeah, we flew back Saturday. And so there you go. You know, we flew back Saturday, and brother-in-law is doing fine. I want to thank all of you for the prayers that you offered him. He's not a believer. And I told him, I said, look, I said, you've had a couple, three of these instances. And I said, you've got to wise up. I said, eternity is a long time. You could take your last breath one day. Then what? And, you know, he mocks the Jesus thing. And so you'd think that something like this would wake someone up when you have you know, all this stuff going on. And he woke up and he said that he was surprised he was alive. That's how serious everything was. And to add things on, his wife has Huntington's disease, and it's pretty advanced. And the result of it is that she can only utter a few words, and they're muffled. They're not very clear, and she doesn't walk very well. She can go up and down stairs on her own, but it takes a while, and she has to take one step, you know, and then condition herself or get ready, and this kind of a thing. And so we had to take care of her too. Not complaining. It's just this is the situation, and neither one of them, as far as I know, you know, love the Lord and are Christians. So hey, I'm just going to ask all of you pray, and get this. So during the week, I went down there to the cafeteria and just grab a salad. And so I grabbed a salad, and I looked in the cafeteria area, and there was no place to sit. All the places were taken. And there was this one woman at a table, and this table was big enough for six people. She was just sitting on one side of it by herself. And, you know, people would do that. They'd just say, hey, mind if I sit here? And, you know, I could tell that's what they were doing. Because there, you know, there's a lot of people there. And, you know, I asked, and she said, yeah, sure. And I saw that she's reading a Bible, and I looked at it, and it was in, I thought it was Chinese, turned out to be Korean. We ended up talking. And then her husband showed up about 10 or 15 minutes later. and her name is Catherine. And so you can remember her in prayer. His mother has bad Alzheimer's, and so they're Christians, and they, let's just say, I did an impromptu counseling session with them right there. It took a bit for them to open up, but once they found out what I did and et cetera, and you know, and I just ministered to them by God's grace. It was one of those God-ordained things. And they were so appreciative. And I was able to connect with them because, I can't tell you details, but I was able to connect with them and relate to them in some areas and just focus on the things of God. And they, we exchanged, you know, phone numbers for text. And she was extremely appreciative and said it was a God thing, and it really ministered to them and helped them a great deal. So praise God. You know, when you guys pray, doors open up, not only in the direction that we want, but also in other areas as well. And I just want to thank you again, seriously, thank you for the prayers. I was out all last week. We had rerun shows, and that's just how it was. Emergency to get out. And, you know, it's going to happen again, because this condition that my wife and her family has is very serious. All right, here's another something, and I want you to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Tell me what you think of the graphics on the Facebook pages I've mentioned, the new graphics and stuff, playing with stuff with AI. Okay, now, there's a movie out that I recommend you go see called Nefarious. I've seen it three times already, and it's not that great. Don't expect that great a movie, but I love the premise, and I love the theology that was buried in it, and this is why I've seen it three times. And it's about, written by a Christian, and it's, in my opinion, the best Christian movie ever done. It's in the genre of C.S. Lewis movie, I mean, book of the Screwtape Letters, and I'm not going to give anything away, but the premise is a psychiatrist needs to go into prison to interview a man who says he's demon-possessed, and the psychiatrist needs to determine whether or not he's going to be diagnosed as insane or not, so that the execution can go forward or not. And the man who claims to be demon-possessed says, by the time this guy leaves, the psychiatrist leaves, he will have committed three murders. And it's interesting. So what happens is the individual starts talking theology from a demonic perspective. Now, it's not teaching demonic stuff, but what he's doing is teaching methods of deception. And I was thinking, you know, if I was writing something like this, I would have said a lot of that, done the same kind of a thing. And in my next novel, I've been thinking about different avenues of communication between the angelic and the human world, and for the next novel that I'm going to write in this series of The Influence. And I've actually wondered about this before I saw the movie, about having a discussion that would happen about the bad side, because I already had a discussion with the good side, where Mark, the main character, discusses things with an angel. And I was thinking, I've got this character, and maybe do something on the demonic realm. So anyway, just a lot of information, a lot of stuff, and I just want to say thanks for all the prayers again. All right, four open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome, man. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Can simple man choose God?
Yes, if God enables him to choose, yes. Uh-huh. God grants that we believe, Philippians 1:29. That belief is in Christ, John 6:29. And so God causes us to be born again, 1 Peter 1:3. We're born again not of our own will, John 1:13. Born again is a change in our nature, in that we're changed. We're still human, of course, but now we're dwelt by God, redeemed. And that does not occur by our work, but by God's work. That's, like I said, 1 Peter 1:3 combined with John 1:13. So he makes us born again. We're new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And because of it, we're able to then freely choose God. Okay?
Okay. Before I go, I'm praying for you. family. But before I go, Matt, give you a joke. It's a clean joke.
A clean joke. Okay. Let's hear it.
Yes. Okay. What did Isaac Newton create?
What did Isaac Newton create? Was it some cookies? I don't know. What?
Close. Fig Newtons.
Fig Newtons. I knew something like it was coming up. Well, appreciate that. That's good.
Okay. Well, take care. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Okay. All right, man. We'll see you. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we have wide open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. So in light of last week's emergency, having to fly down to L.A. and LAX and all of that, you know, I grew up down there, so I'm familiar with the freeways and with the traffic at 80 miles an hour. You drive 80 miles an hour, and you got to watch out. It's fast. But, you know, the issue of the effect of sin in the world, the Korean couple that I spoke to in the cafeteria, the mom had Alzheimer's. And the thing is that it doesn't affect just one person, but it affects everybody else around her. Just like my brother-in-law, who had this surgery, it affected so many other people so quickly. Doctors and nurses, emergency neighbors, you know, my wife and me, the rest of the family. And this is the nature of where we live in a social construct and stuff like that. And so one event is never by itself. This is a philosophical truth. You never have facts that are isolated. Facts always have a context. Well, you also have events that occur in life that are never isolated. They're always in a broader context, a broader set of circumstances. And it's like a gigantic hairball. You pull on one hair and others are affected. And the closer to the original source of energy, the more it is affected there. Okay, well, you know, but here's the thing. God's in control of all of it. And he understands every single event that will occur and has occurred and all of the ramifications of all of those events that will happen on different people in their hearts, their minds. And it's a good thing to be able to trust in God in this. But the effect of sin in the world is unfortunately a reality. And I know that there's so many people out there right now who have loved ones who have illnesses, who are going through financial difficulties, who've suffered something that wasn't even your fault, and you're having to deal with a lot of stuff. And I know that's the case, a lot of people out there. And all I can say is, where you are, and in the context that you are in, is where you need to work, in that whatever circumstance you find yourself in, give that circumstance, as well as your hands and your heart, to God and say, you've allowed this for a reason. I may not like it, but I'm in it. Teach me how to survive in it, to thrive in it, and bring you glory through it. Because I won't have this circumstance forever, but in this one, for now, guide me that I might bring glory to your name, Lord, and give me strength to endure. That's what you got to do. Hey, there's the music. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. For those of you who might be tuning in late, I was out last week. Today is April 24th. It's a nice Monday if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. You can also email me at info@carm.org and just type in there, you know, radio comment or radio question, and I can read it on the air. All right, let's get to somebody, anonymous from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome.
That's my first, middle, and last name. Good evening. I went to call you. I don't know, it'd be the first caller, I guess I would have been. I chickened out, but I thought, and I wanted to call and tell you how much I have gleaned from listening to you and hanging out with the last couple of years, and that I consider you like a friend. And I want to thank you and tell you that I'm praying for you. Because it gets a little scary sometimes, man. I feel you on that, you know. But Romans 8:28, right?
That's right. You know? That's right. All things work together, but that's right.
It's also a question, really. I just wanted to tell you that. You know?
Well, appreciate it. Well, good. Thank you. Do you have any else anything you want to add in? Or?
Well, the feeling I have lately, and it's increased, which is he's carrying me basically at times to where letting me know and giving me strength to get through what we're about to go through. But can really, I've always been sensitive, and I can really feel it. It's rocking and rolling on him, you know. But that rock did roll, so.
You mean regarding
scary,
society?
You know, it's just this whole thing. This whole thing is just right around the corner, and I just feel like it's, you know, it's like I wish I could unlearn a lot of things. But the feeling I've been having lately is just like not a winsome, just a wistful feeling, you know? I have the peace from him that does pass all understanding, but at the same time, I have that. I can imagine how Jesus must have felt, you know, in that amount of grief that he felt over us. And I've done just a slight taste of it. And I don't want to do that to him. I don't want to grieve him like that, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, there's, like you said, there's a lot coming. And we talk about this, or I mentioned this. I mean, it's just the world we live in. You know, most Christian churches want to teach about prosperity and God has a wonderful plan for your life, while they're ignoring the signs around them and the storm that's on the horizon moving. And we need to be well prepared. And I agree with you that you know something's coming. And ever since the Biden administration got in, the Biden crime family, our country has just taken a direct, just a path down to hell. And it's going to continue unless something major happens. And the Christians are the ones who got to be praying and doing.
Yeah.
Not just pray, but do.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to be going out there and tearing up the streets and saying Christian lives matter. So, and why
should
it on the air?
Absolutely.
You know?
We should say Christian truth matters. They should have a sign, Christian truth matters.
Yes.
And and everybody should be marching. All the Christians should be marching all over. There should be hundreds of thousands of Christians all over the country marching.
War.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't because they're following the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus. And, you know, and turn the other cheek. And God wants you healthy and wealthy and prosperous. You can't do that. You can't be healthy and prosperous if you're going to risk going out there and actually doing something Christian, like going out in front of a, like I'm thinking about doing this again, going out in front of a Mormon church, for example, with my sign that says, is MormonismChristian.com. Just stand out across the street. Just hold it up. Or, you know, go to parades with Christians and pray and hold up signs and get gathered and do it. I think this is what should happen, but I don't understand why Christians are so afraid, you know?
Yeah, and it's too real to be just camping out or hanging out on the sidelines. I did that for 50 years without going into whatever. That I'm even alive is a miracle. It's a lot. And I'm not hanging out at the sidelines. That's not happening, and I'm not compromising. You know, a neighbor kind of took me off guard yesterday, and you know, with some stuff about. But I told her, that's the first time I heard that come out of my mouth, and that it actually, it's really, sung, it was for me. I needed to hear it. And I said, look, man, I said, I'm not compromising with this.
Good. Don't compromise.
So anyway,
but too many Christians are compromising. They don't realize they're compromising by not following Christ's command to pick up your cross daily and follow after him and to give up your life for him and to lay down everything for him. So people think they're not compromising, but they are all the time, even by going to some of the churches they go to. And they compromise by supporting women pastors and elders. They compromise by supporting the heretics like Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and them, and the positive confession idiots out there. Yeah, there's a lot of compromise in the church. Absolutely.
It's kind of like, you know, where do we stand? Where do we hang back? Oh, I don't want to say anything because of AI and this and that. You already know what I'm saying, probably.
Everything that I'm saying.
But it's already out there.
Yeah, it's all being recorded. The NSA has their fingers in all communications avenues. They can record everything. They have all the technology to be able to do all that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And stuff.
I'm gonna go and pet my cat. Has reality or something, or unreality or surreality. All right. Okay. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much again.
God bless. God bless.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye. And so, you know, folks. You know, I feel like Jeremiah in the Old Testament prophet. I'm not a prophet, of course, but he spoke the truth, and people wouldn't listen to him, and he's an outcast. What we have happen, or what we're having happen, is the failure of the Christian church overall to pick up its cross and follow after Christ. And that can be done in different ways, different levels of truth, and you know, raising kids for the glory of God, being a good mechanic, a good waitress or waiter for the glory of God. But sometimes what God wants us to do is to not just go to a church on Sunday and you put your tithe in and that's your Christianity. That's a weak form of Christianity. Church is good. Taking communion is good. Hearing the sermon, pastor, preaching is good. But if that's all your Christianity is, then are you picking up your cross like Jesus said to do and following after him? Yeah, we could talk about this if you want. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's see, at the bottom of the hour, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get on the air here with Katie from Missouri. Katie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
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 Okay, so what do you got?
Okay. I was calling, I have been wondering, I've been kind of studying more on the lukewarm in Revelation 3.
Okay.
And how God says he will spit you out. And it actually kind of scares me because I don't know if I'm lukewarm. Okay. I feel like I'm constantly seeking the Lord. Okay. I love him so much. I study the Word every morning. I spend time with God. I don't want to trust feelings, but, you know, I hope that, like, I don't know. I just hope that I'm not considered a lukewarm Christian. It scares me.
Okay.
Can you break that down a little more, I guess?
Sure. Well, what do you think a lukewarm Christian is?
I don't know. I mean, I would think, okay, somebody that doesn't even think about the Lord, doesn't even care, and just lives recklessly and carelessly, and I have friends, you know, I will say, and I feel like I'm on fire because I feel like I lost a lot of friends because that's all I do is talk about God. And
well, you're obviously not lukewarm. Like,
what'd you say?
You're not lukewarm. See, hot or cold is the thing. Be one or the other. Make a choice who you're going to serve. You serve one master, not two. You're either hot or you're cold. You're either with the Lord, you're not with the Lord. You're with the Lord. You're not lukewarm. You're fine.
Okay. Can you tell me what would be considered, you know, the lukewarm, I guess, because I'm finding I have my friends that are Christians that say they're Christians, but I don't even think some of them read the Bible. And then I have the other ones, and it's crazy because there's some that I have that are like, so I have to basically be like, oh, yeah, my ladies that I talk to, my Christian friends that are in my Bible study, because we all just talk every day. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all part of this, like, group chat, and we study the Word every morning versus my other Christian friends. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I was talking to my other Christian. So it's, like, crazy because the ones don't even, like, probably never open the Bible ever. But then they call themselves Christians.
Yeah, those are liars.
Okay.
They're liars.
And then when I try to talk about it, they all shut up. And they act like I'm weird. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they're liars. If you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, the truth is not in you, and you're a liar. So, that's 1 John 2:4. So the thing is, lukewarmness, just think of apathy and just kind of associate them together and you'll have the generic meaning. In the culture, you know, there were springs in the area of the church there and hot or cold water would come out. Lukewarm wasn't good for anything. And so lukewarm water could be swallowed in order to induce vomiting and stuff like that. So at any rate, the idea here is that a lukewarm Christian is someone who says he's a Christian or she's a Christian, really doesn't go to church, doesn't care to go to church, doesn't really read the Bible, and isn't really interested in the things of God, and yet they claim to be a Christian. So they have one foot in hot, one foot in cold, so to speak, and they're neither. And they are the liars, those who say one thing and do another. And they're the ones who are, we could say, lukewarm, apathetic. You're obviously not like that. And you're going to find that with your friends, when you speak of the things of the truth of God's Word, you'll find out what's in their hearts. Because if the things of God are in your heart, you'll rejoice to some degree on hearing the things of God. But if your heart is filled with darkness, the light will expose that darkness, and you'll remove yourself from that light. And so that's how you find out what's in them and where they're at, okay?
Oh, well, that actually sounds like a lot going on lately, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like that's really getting more and more, like a lot this past, I would even say the past few years, it seems like everybody says they're a Christian, but
they don't know what it
really
means.
See the fruit of it.
No, you know, if I were to just say here really quickly, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to not lie and to tell the truth, even if it's going to harm you, to be a person of sacrifice. Doesn't mean everything in every instance, every second, but you have to have a life of sacrifice for the benefit of others to some degree. You should be attending church if you're able to. You should be seeking the things of God if you're able to. And you should always have your mind other-centered and outward-centered on how to present the gospel of Christ out into the world. Not just go to a church and then think that going to church on Sunday means you've fulfilled your duty. That is not it. In fact, that's right. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the gathering together of the people of God. It says it in one place. But what Jesus says is pick up your cross daily and follow after me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go visit the orphans. Go visit the prisoners. He's talking about going to do. And most Christians just don't do anything because they have an easy Christianity. It's just pre-trib, sorry, but I'm going to step on people's toes, pre-trib rapture mentality. Not all people hold to that, though. But the pre-trib rapture mentality of, I'm not going to worry about anything because I'm going to be raptured out of here. Now, not all pre-tribbers believe that and are that apathetic. So, but I'm saying it's a contributing factor. And so we got to be very careful here. But Christians are called to be aggressors in the world. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell are things that sit, and we are the ones who knock them down. You don't hear stuff like this preached. I would love to be invited to a church and preach a sermon about this, about what it means to get off your duffs and get out there into the world, and how to do it. But, you know.
I need to know how to do it. Yeah. Right.
Let me tell you how.
I come across people all the time, and I don't try to get in battles, but I definitely, like, I do hair, and it's, mm-hmm. I consider it my ministry. And mm-hmm. being in the beauty world, there's a lot of, there could be gay and all that, you know. And mm-hmm. I just had a lady on Saturday that was like, the people attacking transgender, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, no one's attacking them, but we stand on the word of God. She's like, God made them that way.
No, he didn't. So here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Say,
watch this. Look, just to say, oh, the transgender. Okay, so moving from what to what? Man to woman, right? Oh, okay. Well, I want to know, you know, since you support that, can you tell me what a woman is so that I can be more educated on this? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to have an answer because they don't know. And if they don't know, you say, well, then I'm confused. Why would you say it's a good thing to go from a man to a woman if you don't even know what either one is? And then just leave it at that. Okay?
Right.
So,
well, she attacked me because she said that I was not being loving like Jesus. And I was like,
oh,
no.
Yeah, I'm not loving to the murderer. And who, it's just the way he is. God made him like that. It's the stupidity of people. You're not loving. You tell me what your standard of love is. Love doesn't mean you agree with someone's sin and rebellion. Love means that you tell them the truth. And this idea of love is being co-opted by the unbelievers as though they have a market on it. It's they're just full of lies and self-deception.
No. Getting harder.
I want to teach people how to answer. I want to teach people what to do. I want to teach people. And, you know, I wish pastors would have me out to their churches or do seminars to equip or do an online seminar to equip.
Awesome.
Well, it would be great if pastors wanted to have someone like me do that, but I don't believe it's going to happen. Anyway, that's what it is, you know? Okay.
Well, thank God that you do this on the weekdays at 5:00.
Well, and I do it in the evening sometimes on different chat venues and on the website, carm.org. Don't know if you've ever been there, but I get hiccups there. Carm.org, carm.org. Go check it out.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've been on there. I read a lot on there.
Muy gudo. I'm glad that you do that. Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Well, God bless.
Okay,
we'll see
you.
Okay. All right. Hey, give me a call. 877-207-2276. We've got about a minute or so before the break. Matt from North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
You ever been in a service where there's no preaching in it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been in services before where it's a how-to thing of moralism. Yeah. Hey, hold on. We got a break, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Matt from North Carolina. Just to check it out. Okay, Matt, welcome. You're back on.
Yeah. See, I go to a church that has like services after services with no preaching in it. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
No, it's a bad thing. Bad thing. Why would they not have any preaching? And I mean,
well, I mean, the Holy Spirit preaches.
Okay, I don't understand.
That's, I mean,
the Holy Spirit preaches
in church.
Well, wait, hold on. If you say there's no preaching, okay. If you say there is no preaching, then the Holy Spirit preaches. That's preaching. So you're giving me conflicting statements. So now I'm confused.
All right. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Like we have people that stand up and testify in church.
Yeah.
And say that goes on for 30 minutes.
Testimony.
Is that a good thing in a church or a bad thing in a church?
Well, it depends. I mean, it just depends on context, and you can't say that it's always wrong or always right. That sometimes you might have a series of sermons that lead up to the idea of people giving testimonies, and that's permissible. But if that's all that it is, then it's rather haphazard, and you don't have the teaching going on. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, we had to force preaching at our church a little bit here and there. The people will testify, and the preacher, when the pastor's like, hey, Kenny, why don't you preach? Just preach the sermon. And there's good sound preaching in the church, too.
So is this a United Pentecostal church?
No, it's a Free Will Baptist.
Free Will Baptist? Is there a pastor?
Yep.
Does the pastor get up and deliver anything out of the Word of God?
He does. But the associate pastor that preaches, Papa, he's old, he's getting older. He still reads and studies his Bible, and he just testifies. And then there's my uncle, he preaches too. Out of church pew, just put it that way. We preach at church pews and stuff like that. But there's preaching there too. So I'm just like, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And
okay, yeah, so I am confused at what's going on there. So you're saying there's an elder. I mean, there's a pastor and there's elders, and somebody gets up and talks about the Bible. So I don't know what's going on. Don't know if you're relating it accurately or what, or I just don't know. But there needs to be the idea of teaching. This is what 1 Timothy 5:17 talks about with the elders, okay? And it talks about the elders there. It says the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And generally this is done in the context of the church gathering, and that Paul's message, he preached while people were gathered, and this is done on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. So the motif, the model, is a sermon of some sort that occurs on a Sunday. And so there should be this gathering together to do that. If there's just testimonies, then that's not teaching. Plus, there's a problem with the idea of testimonies, is the testimonies need to be guarded by the elders. The elders need to know what's going on. They need to be able to refute error and teach sound doctrine Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3. So it sounds to me, from what you're telling me, it sounds to me like they're not doing their job there. And this is just a lazy church service.
Okay.
But I don't know the details, so can't tell you. Okay.
Well, if you were to go on Facebook and look up Sandy Ford FWB Church, we have our live services done on Sundays, on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you can always email us and say, hey, here's the URL to the church. What do you think of this? And things like that. But it's hard to be able to tell you, okay? It's hard to tell you. Because without, having studied it, and it takes a while to go through and watch and listen. So if you have a concern, you need to take it to the elders. That's what you should do. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. All right, man. God bless. All right. Let's get to Bob from Salt Lake City. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey,
I'm fascinated by presuppositional apologetics.
Good.
It's just a fascinating argument that, frankly, I have a tough time sort of wrapping my head around. So maybe a question or two, I'd be grateful. So if the Christian God were evident, why must we presuppose?
Okay. Okay, hold on one sec. There we go. So we presuppose because that's what we do as Christians. We can't prove all truths. Everybody makes presuppositions. Everybody assumes certain things. So let me give you some background information. So, for example, the laws of logic, the law of identity, law of non-contradiction, law of excluded middle, law of proper inference, and things like this, modus ponens, modus tollens. You have various laws, various facts of logic, but you can't prove them true without presupposing their truth. You have to presuppose the laws of logic to demonstrate the laws of logic are true, but that's called begging the question. So what we do is, in certain things, and some people call this a priori or just fundamental basics or whatever it is, that they have these terms that these are just part and parcel of actuality that we need to adopt and just believe in and then argue from that position. And so what I do with atheists, with agnostics, with varying people who I like to argue with, you know, and I don't mean argue, yell at, I mean, you know, discuss, and they'll ask me various questions. For example, they'll say, well, why would your God do such bad things in the Bible? Well, that's an open-ended question. And it's a question that necessitates presuppositionalism. So I'll say, hold on, I clear my throat. I say, okay, so you say the God of the Bible does bad things, right? Okay, so define for me what a bad thing is. And if you do that, you need to understand that it can't be a subjective preference of what you like and don't like. It has to be universally applicable, because you are saying that there is a principle, you're assuming, you're presupposing that there's a universal moral principle out there that you're in contact with, that you can then apprehend and say this action of God recorded in the Bible is wrong. So please tell me how you justify that as being the case. Now this is what I'll do with them, just like I just said to you. And it puts them on the defensive. And the reason it does is because I'm just exposing their fallacious argument. That's all I'm doing. Now, they might come back and say, well, Matt, you presuppose God exists. I go, yes, I do. Well, isn't that also circular? Yes, it is. And they'll say, well, see, that's invalid. I say, no, it's not. I'll say, everybody presupposes circularity. And there's a principle you have to understand. Everybody presupposes certain values that are consistent with your worldview. Because if you don't do that, then your worldview is inconsistent and self-refuting. If you have a set of values that you judge truth by, a worldview, and you say, I'm assuming the truth of these, and they're consistent with my worldview is consistent with that, that's internal consistency. Okay, that's fine. We do that, atheists do that. But what I'll do is I'll say, okay, here's the tough question now. What must be the case in order for your worldview to be valid? Or another way of saying it is, what must be the case in order for your presuppositions to be valid? Everybody is a presuppositionalist. Everybody is. You are, I am, atheists are. There are different forms of it, different degrees of it. Everybody presupposes certain values in order to argue, to try and make arguments, reasons, moral basis, social basis, political basis, everything. Everybody does this because you can't prove every single detail of every single thing. There are certain things you have to assume, and that's fair. The question then becomes, what worldview best accounts for the validity of those presuppositions? I'm going to say this again. Which worldview best accounts for the validity of those presuppositions? And I'm going quickly here because we don't have much time. If I, as a Christian, presuppose the Christian Trinitarian being, who is the necessary precondition for all intelligibility, then in so doing, I can account for what's called the one and the many issue. I can also account for the universality and true nature of love. I can account for the true nature and aspect of personhood being manifested in the being of God, who is that precondition. If you're an atheist, for example, and you say something is right or is wrong, then you have what's called the is-ought problem. How do you know that something that is beating up that guy on the street corner at what is wrong. Just because you say it's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. You have a set of values. So, Mr. Atheist, justify your universal required foundation by which you can then say that is a wrong thing for him to do. How would you know? What's the universal that you would appeal to? What's the presuppositional thing that's universal? And so this is what presuppositionalism is. This kind of a thing, I know I'm going quickly because we're getting low on time. And if you use like this and you say what must be the case in order for your assumptions to be true, that's a presuppositional work. It's extremely powerful. And it exposes the non-religious and false religious systems as being incoherent. Only the Christian Trinitarian worldview is internally coherent and explains all things. So this is why we presuppose the Christian worldview, and when you do, everything makes sense. Okay? Did that help? Are you there? I don't hear anything. I just imagined his eyes rolling back in his head, losing consciousness, shaking, and that phone hangs up. Overloaded his brain. So I don't know, I'm just kidding, but I pictured it and it made myself laugh. And just blew my mind. Anyway, that's what I went through it quickly, folks. I wish someone would transcribe the last 5 minutes of what I said so I could write it up and you send it to me and I can polish it. Everybody presupposes certain things. Everybody does. Here's the question. What must be the conditions in order for what you presuppose to be true to actually be true? It's really simple. You have a chair. What must be the condition in order for the chair to stay where it's at? Well, it's got to have a floor underneath it. What must be the condition for the floor to stay where it's at? Well, it's got to be, on the foundation of the ground. Well, what must be the condition for the ground to be there? Well, it evolved. Well, what must be the condition for? And you can do this back until you get to the single uncaused cause. Because all facts and all actualities have an eternal context that must relate back to the eternal initial, actually, I'll say this for now, the initial beginning, the initial thing from which all facts and actuality derive. You can't have an infinite regression of causes going backwards, and I could explain that some other time with some illustrations tomorrow if you guys call up and say, after I recovered from listening to you, can you explain it again? And then we can do that tomorrow if you want. Hey, there's the music. I got to get out of here. May the Lord bless you. By His grace, back on here tomorrow. Hey, thanks for those of you who prayed for the situation, family members and surgeries and emergency, this and that, for all last week. God bless everybody. Thank you. Talk to you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.